Hey, Nadpoles. Caldwell here to talk to you about Hero Forge, the best place to get fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from. I actually just built a version of my Underdark Gnome Illusion Wizard, Kraslo, for use in a home game my friend has been running, and it was incredibly fun getting to scroll through all the options and details to bring this mage-handed menace to life. Their easy-to-use design tools let you build your perfect miniature online using a fully 3D, in-depth character creator right in your browser. Oh, and before you ask, yes, Hero Forge has goggles, and yes, Kraslo is wearing them. So if you've been thinking about splurging on a miniature for your D&D campaign, wait no longer, because May 2nd to May 9th, Hero Forge is having a spring sale. You can get 10% off all physical miniatures and free shipping, including international shipping on all orders. The figures are tiny, but the savings are huge. To take advantage of this great offer, visit heroforge.com to start designing your custom miniature today and check back often because new content is added every week. Ooh, good to know. Kraslo just got a hat of vermin in the campaign, and I really want to find an annoying top hat for him to wear to represent that. In the meantime, that's it for me. Thanks for listening, and happy forging.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court. We are your Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy, Axford, and Tanner, joined by, of course, the lowly.
Are we going to be mean to him today? I think we have to be nice to him.
Want to be nice to him today?
Yeah.
Is today a nice day?
Interesting.
Today is a nice day. You have to balance it out because people start to take it seriously.
Okay.
That's cool.
And it's ultimately
cooler.
Yeah,
you like that.
Yeah, I love that for me. Uh-huh. Hey, I for one agree with Justice Axford.
The handsome, talented bailiff, Jake Hurwitz.
Whoa.
Also, guest judge, Jasper William Cartwright. Welcome, Jasper.
Hello, everyone. Indeed. I'm upset about the fact we're being nice to Jake today.
Don't worry. You guys can be mean to me on the short rest. That's where you'll be mean to me. Don't worry.
We'll go back and forth.
Balance it there.
Yeah, there must be a day when there is a night.
As of right now, Jasper is just a guest until he reads this and is sworn in as a justice.
Okay. So I, Jasper William Cartwright, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the players as well as the DMs against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. That I take this obligation of my own volition, and that I will well and faithfully embark upon this noble pursuit of justice. So help me gods.
That was a man that was reading ahead to make sure we weren't making him say anything too weird.
I was like,
you have me on the record saying.
Truly, I was like, this is me balancing my dyslexia with also being like, I don't trust anything that these guys throw at me.
Yeah. It is what we just dropped that in like the Zoom chat at the last minute. So there's like no way you could.
Oh, that was literally like 2 seconds. Like, as Jake said for me to read that, that's what it appeared.
Yep. And with that, let's throw to our wonderful friend, honestly, Jake.
Wow.
Thank you.
And indeed. Kind of our hero. Disagree. I feel like all of our hero, right?
Yeah. Sort of a hero. Because it could sound sarcastic if you overdo
come back
it.
Around.
And then that would count as being mean to me.
Yeah. We should temper the compliments. Yeah.
Hear ye. Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, Cartwright, and Tanner presiding.
Mm. Hello.
Hi.
Feels good.
Pleased to be here with you, Jake.
Okay. Our first case comes from Dave 3D Art, and Dave writes, "May it please the courts and the honorable and tall bailiff Jake."
Oh,
wow. Okay. So they got their memo.
Sticking to the theme.
How do they know? How do they know?
Was briefly in a campaign in which potions only came in the form of enemas. I quit.
What?
No one mentioned the enemas before the campaign started, and there was also a rather long list of questionable house rules. Was I right to quit, or is that the kind of house rule that is acceptable to throw on a party in the first session? There were other issues, but that was pretty wild, hey? I'm in the mercy of your verdict.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, you should have quit that.
Would you quit if that was the only issue?
I actually desperately now want to hear all the other issues because this is batshit.
Somehow I kind of get the feeling that that's the lowest of the issues. Like, yeah. I feel like the other issues were probably worse.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let us always, as we must. We must
a generous read.
Let's do our generous read. Our generous
enema table.
Our generous read for enema potion table is that it sharded us a bit amongst the people. As a bit. It sharded us a shit. Uh-huh. It sharded us a shit, right. And then the players were having fun with it. This person joins, and then they're kind of like, LOL. The potions are enemas. And they weren't, it wasn't like a hard and fast, it has to be, you need to graphically describe.
I understand how that situation happens, but as soon as the new person narrows their eyes and says, no, I'm not going to do that, you have to instantly back down and be so ashamed.
It's so easy to back down on. It's not that funny.
Is it so easy? Wait, can I argue though? Back down on that? Because the second you're like, this potion has been shoved up someone's ass,
it's true.
Can
it's
it
hard
go
to
back
down.
To being a potion?
Yeah.
I actually think it's funny if the people getting it as the suppository potion is more elective. Like that's a little sillier than like the only way this potion is applied is through the ass.
No, that's the funnier thing to do is to like make it seem like only enemas are potions, and then in the next town, like you just find some regular potions and everyone's
wait, we could have been doing this wrong the whole time. Just a really rude shopkeep lied to us once.
I'm sorry, but you have to put it up
big
your back
at the end.
I think I could be more on board with it if this random table I joined explained it to me that there was some extra benefit for sticking this thing up my arse. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you get an extra D4.
If I got an extra D4 or it did like max healing.
But don't you feel like if you were getting a little extra perks that you'd be like, what fetish am I playing into for you?
Yeah, I know. Sure. I had that same thought.
Why are you buttering me up?
So I gave my obligatory generous reads and now I'm going to go back to being like, this is weird. Yeah. You're right to have left.
okay, so does it seem like we're ruling in favor of the player who didn't want the potion?
Sure. Did the player bring it up with their DM? Were they like, hey, I'm uncomfortable with this? Or did Dave 3D Art just bounce instantly? Because that is allowed.
Either way
is valid.
I have another generous read that might tempt someone over.
Okay.
What if the reason that potions are enemas is because they're huge fans of Blink-182's Enema of the State?
I'm absolutely in.
Yeah, you've won Jake over.
Fuck. Enema of the Fate. That's the healing class.
This
is my new Artificer subclass.
Yeah, how far, like genuinely how far does it go? Like does the cleric, is there...
The cleric is a proctologist.
Yeah.
No.
The cleric's a proctologist. The potions are all enemas. Yeah, I think that even if Dave 3D Art showed up and just bounced as soon as it was mentioned, I also think that's
so
fine.
Valid.
Yeah,
I think that's totally fine.
It's also, you only have so much time in your life, and sometimes you walk into a situation that you just say,
"Want to do
nope,
potion enemas,"
and then you leave.
Yeah. Yeah, like
and
I could
that's a
spend.
Beautiful adult thing.
I could spend a while. We could discuss this, and then we could ultimately get to a point where we don't have potion enemas anymore. Mm-hmm. But like that's still the vibe this
you don't
group
have
wanted.
To, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
when that comes up in session one, it's like, well, session it's not going to get better. It's not.
Just immediately we all have to break up. You know what I mean? We just have to. Yeah. This has to be over.
You know what? Kudos to the table for setting down their vibe so firmly, being like, "This is what we do."
I agree.
Episode one, right? Yeah. Just set down your vibe immediately.
When everyone sits down right away, you're just like, "Just so everyone knows, potions are going to be enemas." And then three people get up and leave the table, and you
if
keep
those
playing.
Who remain, you are all on the same fucking
like,
page. Isn't that beautiful?
You put a wreath of your vibes on your front door, so people know what to expect.
In this house, potions are enemas.
Potions are enemas. It's like in the pray script. Yeah.
In this house, we believe potions are enemas.
Healing could only happen through the butthole.
May the force be with you. It says that too for some reason.
Wait for it in the merch in the store. Nadpod store.
Nadpod enemas?
Nadpod enemas? I was thinking the sign.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
So no, we just do a looks like we one of those signs. Too, yeah. No one would wear that.
No.
Truly.
We could do it as a house sign, though. In this
okay,
house
so I think
enemas.
That I think that the punishment is clear. The, everyone who's using potion enemas has to put a lawn sign that says, "In this house, we believe potions are enemas."
What else does it say, though? Because that's not going to fill up the whole sign.
In this house, all of their other weird rules.
All the home rules. Yeah, that's great.
In this house, we believe D12s are more fun than D20s.
Ooh, that hurts.
Yeah. Potions are enemas. Mm-hmm. Whenever you roll a one, you have to shit yourself just a little bit.
Just shart. You just have to shart.
You absolutely have to shart. Yeah.
Solid punishment. So ordered. Our next case comes from Tyler J. And Tyler writes, "May it please the esteemed court, the rugged bailiff John, and a little place called Manjas." I present the case of the anime tournament arc gone wrong.
Oh, shit.
My DM, to have the party prove their strength and earn the respect of some powerful orcs, had us enter a classic anime-style bracketed fighting tournament. However, we had to all enter as individuals, and sure enough, the first round of the tournament pitted the party's Martial Forge cleric against the party's way more optimized Asimar Celestial Warlock.
Devastating.
Wow. Ouch.
As soon as the fight started, the warlock used their Asimar flight to fly above the arena, cast darkness on the cleric, and proceeded to absolutely melt them with eldritch blasts from above, counterspelling the one AoE spell the cleric tried to cast. The mood at the table quickly soured, and the cleric was almost silent the rest of the session. The players all quickly became divided over who was to blame, the player for being so merciless or the DM for putting us into PvP when some players were clearly more optimized than others. I leave it to the court to decide their fate.
I blame everyone.
Here's the thing.
Except for the cleric.
They said they wanted an anime tournament arc. This is absolutely what happens in an anime tournament arc. You are at a school. You are pitted against your fellow classmates who all have special powers.
Ooh.
And you're like, I can't go up against them. They're too powerful. They're going to kill me. But you have to dig deep. You have to find your strength. Even if you lose,
you have to be Rock Lee taking off your weight
and
revealing your next level of strength.
Well, everyone, let's not forget in Naruto when they did this for the Chunin exam, they were on the same team.
Yeah.
It was Sasuke. Yeah.
I think that
Sakura and Naruto did not fight each other.
Yeah.
I think that's ultimately, I'm like, generous read on this is like, the DM just should not have like had them in the same bracket like to start with.
Also to start.
Eventually, sure.
Yeah.
Like, you know, after everyone's done like three rounds, fine. Then like the final could probably be, you know, two of the players.
Yeah. It's almost always a better idea to just have everyone on the same team.
Yeah.
Like,
I also think that like people always say they want PvP, but if you are really good at mechanics, you simply can't do PvP.
Yeah.
I think PvP is too dangerous.
Yeah.
So we get so many questions about PvP. People's feelings get hurt during PvP.
Yes.
You don't want that.
Well, getting whomped in D&D sometimes is just fucking boring. Like just getting stunned and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or even this caster like had their only spell counterspelled.
And then
the person's like an Aarakocra flying up in the air. They literally can't do anything.
Yeah, I've definitely got to say there's more fault with the player than I realized because like that's a dick move to like counterspell them as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think if you want PvP, it's got to be, I feel like if you're going to do a PvP campaign, obviously this is not the question, but hypothetically, if you were going to do it, I think it shouldn't be fighting. I think it should be behind the scenes stuff. Like you should be working against each other in different ways rather than just fighting each other.
Almost like you're maneuvering pieces on a chessboard independently as opposed to
more satisfying to play.
Yeah. Also, using all of your mechanics and everything, because also like clerics and stuff, they're like built to help the team and stuff like that. So you're not, it's different when, because like with like the Band of Boobs and everything, we definitely did things where it was like Hard One and Moonshine wrestle or Bev and Balnor wrestle or something. And we just do an athletics check and then it's just funny. And then one person wins and we make a joke about it and then it's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What you don't want to do is sit there and be like, okay, Beverly goes first. I'm going to use a seventh level smite and try to take you out in one turn. And
Imagine Beverly just decapitating Hard One at the end of the campaign.
You know what I think though is I think the person I blame the most is the DM though.
Yeah.
because right, this, like, I'm imagining that this person who's like absolutely destroying this cleric is being rude, but they could have been just as scared and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to do this Jujutsu Kaisen style where like the teams are like different classes that are up against each other. Mm-hmm. And like they're competing. Like, you know, it's the two different schools going up against each other. Give everyone like a rival that they can play off against. That's so fun.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I think it doesn't even further your story really either.
The DM also could have, like, if they were randomly creating the bracket and saw this, they could have been like, I'm not going to pit them against each other.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, you shouldn't have been in the same thing. And I also think, like, as a DM, you have to treat your players like they are children in, like, kindergarten, right? Uh-huh. Like, if you put them in a scenario where it's likely to draw out their worst qualities, that's what will happen. That's, like, that's what will happen.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you put kids in a sandbox and say it's okay to throw sand at each other, that's all that's going to happen. They're right. just going to be rubbing sand into each other's eyes. And it's going to be horrific.
I was at a preschool open house the other day. Kids are savage. I saw so many fucking hip shots.
Yeah, right. Then imagine one of those kids could fly. That kid would just destroy the other kid. Yeah.
I saw a 3-year-old cast darkness.
Dude, if my middle school bully had spells that he could cast on me, I would be so fucked.
I mean, Heather definitely had vicious mockery and used it.
Yeah, every bully has vicious mockery and that's it, thankfully. Yeah. Oh, they also have those like rallying cries where they can rally people to their side to all tease me at the same time. So that one's...
I love the idea of a bully bard subclass.
I think I probably had like summon greater teacher or something though, where like I could defend myself like by being so pathetic. You know what I mean? That like a teacher would appear and be like, get off! Like, leave him alone.
That's great when you don't have to tell on anyone, just somebody witnesses it.
Yeah. That's like, you've got to make a scene.
I didn't tell on you!
You've got to make a scene.
I think I had invisibility, but I didn't mean to cast it.
Emily and I, we just had Song of Rest and we went in the corner and read books.
Okay, so I guess it's a magical time. Middle school is a magical time.
The DM must be punished.
The DM is to blame.
The DM is the one that's wrong. Because first off, you do kind of you have to talk to your players ahead of time before you do PvP.
I don't really want to punish this person just for doing, because they probably also were like, they were trying to play the DM's game.
Yeah.
But I feel like knowing that you've got future fights and burning one of your counter spells.
Yeah, I mean,
seems wild.
Hearing the description, it's like easy. I would not have gone that hard.
Uh-huh. I would say I would like to make a motion to the justices that whatever punishment is delivered to the DM, we deliver like 50% to the scale to
punishment?
The player.
I'd like to open debate on that motion because I would like to present the line that they were trying to impress a group of powerful orcs that they're trying to rally to their side.
Exactly.
So I think you could imagine that a player is like, okay, I'm going to show all of my stuff so they'll like join our cause.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, I could imagine it being performative. Generous read, sure.
Effectively, though, they're on the same team all trying to impress the orcs.
So if anything, that works against them. Because I'm going to talk about pro wrestling for a moment because Jasper and I were watching pro wrestling last night.
It was a good time. Awesome.
But this warlock, it was a warlock, right?
Yes.
This warlock went into business for themselves.
Although that's what I'm saying. It is also a healer, so they aren't like the most selfish person.
Totally. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing, if you're trying to impress the other people, this is like wrestling, where you're putting on a show together for everybody to look strong.
Yes.
Right.
In wrestling, when you go into business for yourself, it's when you make the other person look bad to the detriment of the show, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I would concede that they didn't put on a good show. I will concede that they didn't put on the show. But I argue that their intent
I think their
intent might have been good.
I'm totally on board up until the counter spell. I'm totally on board with doing the most optimized move, but like literally like at the table, your friend gets excited about a spell, has like the one, literally, I think it says like the
one
spell,
area of effect,
right?
Spell.
That they go to try and you just go, no, you can't do, like you literally can't do anything.
Yeah.
And that was a step too far.
You could maybe argue it's like, oh no, I was just like playing my character. I was just doing what they do. But like, it's not metagaming to be nice to your friends.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but again, this PC could have been like acting at the behest of the DM, being like, here's your world. This is what you're supposed to do.
I'm going to suggest
the PC
for them,
is trying to make the DM happy.
For them, totally separate thing, just a wrestling punishment. Since they like to fly around so much, we're going to lock them hell in a cell.
Yeah.
Oh. With Kane, the big red machine.
No, it's Kane. Oh, no, no, stop.
Oh, my goodness, folks.
No.
Here he is.
No.
Pyro goes off.
This is when it turns out that the cleric was chasing the warlock around with an enema for like half an hour before this. And the warlock was like, please stop. Please stop.
Oh, these questions are all enema related.
Yeah, obviously.
That's right. That's the theme for this week.
Oh, yes,
this is enema of the state week.
I like a theme week. Yeah, we're being nice to Jake and we're getting our buttholes clean.
And then maybe the DM has to like fight against like a level 20 sorcerer paladin.
Yeah, who's a bully?
Oh, who's a bully?
Yeah.
We're going to invent a bully for you.
We're going to create a bully character.
We're going to stat out a level 20
bully. A bully bard. Yeah.
A level 20 bully bard.
Wow, bully bard. That is so sick.
College of Bully, I guess. That would be... That would actually probably be pretty devastating. Yeah.
Okay, sick. So ordered. Our next case comes from Connor O.S. Connor writes, to the Reverend Judiciary Panel and the guy who reads the cases. So that's...
Pretty
wow, that's my friend
me, Connor.
Jake.
Yeah,
super nice.
Excuse me, Mr. Fine. Operating System. That is our friend Jake you're talking about.
Yeah. And we've arbitrarily decided to be nice
How
to him
dare.
Today.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a nice term. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
just like the guy. Like he's the guy.
Mm-hmm. The
I'd say
guy.
If anything,
oh,
that was the way Jake
guy.
Read that.
Yeah.
Which
the
sounded
guy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like big yourself up. You're the guy.
Okay, cool.
The guy.
Right, and the guy.
Yeah,
there we go.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go. Generous reads.
Wow. Generous reads. Generous reads indeed. I bring before you the case of the Magpie Monk.
Cute.
Okay.
I am a player in a 5e campaign set in a homebrew world. In this world are lots of cool magic items like the Ring of Teleportation, which teleports the ring and not the wearer, or the Amulet of Rain, which will tell you if it's raining by lighting up, but it only works outside. The DM has been very generous with these throwaway magic items, often giving us one or two in each session.
Oof.
Enter the party's Arakakra Drunken Fighter Monk, who is role-playing as a magpie. This player will at every turn pickpocket and directly wrestle these magic items off other PCs. I've already lost two items to him.
Oh my God.
This really goes back to what Jasper was saying about D&D players being kindergartners.
Yep.
The DM doesn't allow us to roll sleight of hand to hide the ring from him and instead makes us roll opposed athletic checks, which he always wins due to his stats.
Yeah. Sure.
My character is a human fighter and has spoken to his character in game and asked that he perhaps lets us have some of them to no avail.
I would do anything to watch that in-character conversation.
Yes. Saying
hey,
no.
Saying
no is unhinged.
Yeah, and also the way of saying, maybe we could have some.
Maybe
it's
we
not
could
even
share.
Like stop stealing from us. It's
just
maybe
like,
you could
maybe
leave
steal
a couple
a little bit
for
less?
Us to
you
play
can
with.
Keep the ones you already stole, but just no more stealing. How about that?
This is a wild suggestion, but can we go ahead and punish this person? Can we just jump right in? Because I got one ready.
Right.
I think that we need to find out the age of this person and then hire someone to yell at them with a megaphone and just say their age over and over again. Be like, you're 34.
Wait, I want to hear the rest of the thing, though.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Okay, it closes. And so I plead with you, am I being a diva roach supreme by being pissed about this, or should something be done about this pilfering pigeon? I await your just
No, you're totally in the right. Uh-huh. And I love that you tried to talk
the
them into
of just
stealing
no.
less.
Okay, I've got a generous read on this one.
Oh,
okay.
All right.
I wasn't even going to go for it with this one.
I've got a generous read on this one. Okay, is it possible that because these magic items are ostensibly useless, the magpie is thinking that everyone's like having fun with this bit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I want to know whether the magpie's actually then like elevated this to stealing anything of import, right? Uh-huh. Like, because if I
like
wake like up and the DM's
it.
Like, oh, the magpie has your +2 shield now that they stole. I'd be like,
right.
What?
But it's still, even if they think it's funny, when someone comes to you and says, hey,
it's in game, though.
Please, maybe we could share some of them.
I'd like
it didn't sound like it was presented in a way of levity. It sounded like it was presented in a way of
someone
desperation.
Was upset. Rightfully so. I'd also like to shine a light on another low-key villain in the story.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the DM.
Yeah.
Just how funny could it possibly be to have these kind of cheeky items One or two every session.
Every session.
Okay,
is wild.
Can I argue?
That
these,
becomes funny again.
These items. No. These items are hackable to be useful.
Whoa.
Think about it. Like the ring of teleportation, you just get a metalsmith to add a little like snuff thing or something to put like a potion in there, teleport to your friend who doesn't have a potion.
Oh, you can use for messaging. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if the DM would be favorable to that.
Yeah. I think they might figure out a way to make it useless though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. True. It's just very funny to me to just every session be like, okay.
Honestly, it seems like too much work for the DM.
Yeah. you're sweating, not balancing any of your encounters because you're like, how do I make this staff funny?
So it's a staff that can measure something as long as it's 3 feet tall.
That's awesome, man. Put it in. We need one more. We need one more for this.
I don't hate it. I think it's a little fun. I like it.
I agree that it's a little fun.
Yeah.
I think as long as this isn't the only magic items they're getting, as long as like they're actually getting
the point that the magpie is stealing them.
But they're beloved enough by the characters mm-hmm. that they're disappointed when it's getting stolen from them.
Jake, I don't know if you mentioned this in the case. Is this player an actual magpie? Is there like a bird that flew into the DM's house and is like playing D&D?
Are they role playing and being like, I'm a bird that collects things?
I think it's, yeah.
So when the player was like, can I have my stuff back? They just mm-hmm. cawed at them. They were just like,
That didn't really happen.
It's just what I think happened.
I have to be honest. I spent all my generous read on the warlock, on the counterspelling warlock, and I have nothing left for the stealing magpie.
I was kind of still on board with my very, very generous read, but just clawing back at them, I feel like I'd just straight up punch the player across the table.
I think I'll just be like, at that point, I'm like, drop the character. I'm like, hey, man, how do you see our relationship progressing going forward mm-hmm. since you cawed at me?
Yeah.
What do you see happening at this table?
Hey, look at me. What's going on?
Look at me, guys. Don't look away. My eyes are here. Come on. Like, lock it in.
You don't actually have eyes on either side of your head. You can look at me. You're not a bird.
Just pecking at Cheez-Its on the table.
Immediately getting aggressive. What's up with you, man?
Why do you need this?
I'm a bird, dude. I'm just playing a fucking bird.
Why are you like this?
Because I'm playing a fucking bird, man.
You'd have to flip out so hard for the bird to be the good guy in this. But you absolutely could.
You could do it.
Okay. You'll stop still punching. You're like going full ham on this player who's just still cawing back at you.
Yeah, I think that maybe you guys should host a session at this person's house. And steal unimportant stuff. Just steal some silverware.
Oh, yeah. Just steal some real
things.
Steal a stapler. Just some shiny, unimportant stuff.
Just like a picture frame with like them and like a precious relative or something.
That's important, man. Not expensive, but
monetarily, it means nothing. So
yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So ordered.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the punishment. You have to steal something.
Go steal pictures of them and their family.
Yeah.
Why? Why not?
I didn't order that.
They played a bird.
All right, cool. So the punishment is for the bird to steal from the DM. Is that the punishment?
Wait, I have another thing.
Yeah.
You could just like surround this person's house with breadcrumbs. So that they are just descended upon by birds, and every time they go out to get the newspaper, it's just like birds that are actually, everywhere.
Yeah, you
I know that
birds
plight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's smart.
You just go around just nightly, dropping bird seed
nightly.
Everywhere.
You take a 12-pack of croissants and sprinkle it around this person's
you need
house.
You need to croissant their house. Yeah.
You need to
croissant their gutters.
Croissant
this
motherfucker. Their gutters. Croissant their mailbox.
Croissant their gutters.
Croissant their doggy door.
What you really have to do is croissant their chimney.
Oh, shit. Yo. Croissant the chimney?
Yeah, if you eat enough croissants over their chimney, basically eat your nightly croissant every night over their chimney. The crumbs will go down the flue, and then the birds will fly.
Yeah.
Croissant their flower bed, croissant their flower boxes. Yeah. fucking
the prank croissanting people is so funny.
Croissant their whole damn life, dude. Yeah, that's what's
this,
up.
This can be a punishment for anything. Croissant, you can get out of any punishment of D&D court if you just you can elect to be croissanted. Like, which is people like choosing, just throwing croissants at you.
Oh, that's good. It's like going to it's like taking the black in Game of Thrones. Yeah, like, exactly. I don't want my punishment. Yeah. I choose to be croissanted.
Take the croissant.
I'll just be croissant.
I plead the croissant. That's what, yeah.
Okay.
I cannot live with this shame.
Cool. So ordered. We've made a martyr of them. Emil M. writes, esteemed justices and fine bailiff. Pretty nice. Because generously.
Fine. I think it means fine.
Yeah.
So fine.
Is fine.
And I appreciate that.
How many
that.
Eyes were in that fine?
Just the one, and it's Jake.
I present the case of the neglected mom.
Oh no, you know I'm always sensitive. Mm-hmm. I'm always supportive mm-hmm. of moms.
In the long-running game I DM, the party started off as pirates that got drafted mid-job by a dying god to save her by finding and being blessed by all seven other gods. Mm. Since then, they have traveled the far reaches of the world to find them, from bustling cities to remote wilds. One of the PCs, Sister, has found him and told him off for neglecting their mother, who believes him to be dead since he went on a pirate job, never came back, and never reached out in the months since. My friend was pissed. Oh. He insisted that, of course, his bard would have kept in touch with his mom.
That's what I was going to say.
But it's not like the parties had prolonged moments of downtime. Mm. When they visit more developed settlements, though, I've always mentioned rookeries they could use to send ravens or messages, and none of them have. Am I wrong to have this PC's family miss him?
This is okay. So okay. the only thing I'm hearing at first, though, is that like maybe this PC didn't even know they had family. Like, I'm wondering if like maybe you were like, oh, I'm going to introduce some drama. Hey, your mom's mad at you. Wait, what? My mom? I didn't even know to think about my mom.
Yeah.
That could be happening. You might think, oh, this will be some like juicy parental drama. Everyone loves that in D&D. But if this player didn't initiate it, they might be like,
it needs to kind of be a core thing of their character.
Yeah, like the episode one is like them leaving, like waving goodbye to their family or something.
Right.
So
right.
It's like a real established, like you've role played a bit, like as
the family. Just so they know.
Yeah.
This seems like the situation where the DM should have been like listening for like breadcrumbs or croissant crumbs, as it were.
Right.
That they could like pick up and like turn into backstory later. But it seems like this was like whole cloth invented as opposed to like taking something that they overheard this player say.
Which I don't think is wrong, because I think that a player could, like, you could throw that on a player and they could embrace that. But it sounds like this
we
person.
Kinda, I mean, we kind of did it with Hank.
Yeah.
With like Hank having like a family. But that was kind of, Jake, if you disagree, you could say so. But my feeling of it was that was a core part of Hank's character.
I ran away from my son.
Exactly. Yeah. Was him like getting like kind of like Hank's character arc was like him learning not to let the world like keep him down.
But also, you know, like you came in being like, I'm divorced and I have a kid.
Totally.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was like, just like, I was beaten down and I had like run away from all my problems. So like that coming back and being a part of my like character arc made sense. That said, I was like, my son should love me. I just came home for the first time in 10 years. You're not happy?
But that's also different, right? So like it could be wrong, but when I'm hearing this story, I'm wondering if it's more the equivalent if 10 episodes in you'd been like, Zerk. Your daughter. who you haven't mentioned.
Saul, your kids.
Like, so if you did that, like I said, I think that there are players that would be like, thank you for this gift. But there might be some players that are like, no, I actually don't want to role play this.
I think when you find yourself on the defensive being like, well, but there were several rookeries that you could have taken opportunity at. I just, I feel like maybe you can pivot and be like, all right, you know what? If you talk to your mom, she'll see that like you had important things to do.
Doesn't it sound like the DM is the mom in that case? You could have called.
I'm going to tell you off. I think that's the bit that's odd for me, as I'm like, it seems weird to me that the player clearly really like felt like it was a part of their character that they would have done it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like if we're in a place where kind semi retconning something to introduce the character of the mom, it then feels a little weird to me that then they weren't able to have retroactively sent like two or three letters to say, hey, I'm alive, by the way.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You don't narrate every single thing you do. Mm-hmm. You don't go like, I'm going to take my long rest. First, I'm going to have...
Murph, do you cut out every shit I narrate?
Yeah, that's true.
We rolled for them for nothing.
It's
Wait,
crazy.
Do people not know that Beverly washes his hands a lot?
they do know, I would say.
Yeah.
Everyone's aware.
Yeah, it tracks.
But yeah, you don't document every shit.
That's what I mean. What I mean. And I feel like you could still have the drama without the parents thinking that they were just dead for a while. Like, do you know what I mean? They could still be annoyed that they haven't spoken much. But you could have at least sent them one letter to say, by the way, I'm not dead.
I also think like the nugget of this is like what Jasper's saying, which is like the player was clearly excited to have a parent, right? Mm. Like they wanted to be like, no, I did. I would have contacted them.
Yeah.
So you did introduce something that your player is into, just maybe not in a way that they want to role play it out.
Yeah. This seems like a situation where like the DM should have maybe texted the player and been like, hey, how do you think your relationship with your family is? Like, just get like a read on it so that you can have that. It's also, this is like a home game. They can be a little sloppy. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to like retcon. It's okay to like talk things out at the table. As long as like everyone's like telling the story they want to tell. I feel like that's the most important part.
I feel like this is a little messy in the sense that like, I don't know if I feel comfortable punishing one of I feel like both probably need a little punishment. My mind, I'm thinking like
you really like spreading those punishments around.
I think that's my justice style. Justice.
Do you know what we
all.
Could do is we could just go back and punish the magpie Arakocra again.
That magpie Arakocra has to act as a delivery messenger bird for the DM and their player. And they have to message every week. Strictly, they have to send each other a letter a handwritten letter every week, even if they're like meeting up, seeing each other, a full, like, this is what's happened in my week.
Covered in breadcrumbs.
Yeah. Like, so much croissant inside this. And you have to pay the magpie croissants.
Every time they walk out, just getting pecked by birds as they are a courier for this message.
Every message is written on a croissant.
They have to be realistic about it, too. They have to tie it to their leg.
They're just going to end up hating baked goods.
Just stuff it into your sock.
I do think I'm maybe more with the player here. I do think that, like, when it comes to actual challenges and stuff in the game and everything, like, failure has to be an option for it to be, like, exciting. Yeah. But I think if you're... Unless it's something completely crazy where you're like, I could have never predicted that they would have reacted negatively to this or something like that.
Yeah.
Usually if the DM has like a story beat and the player is like, I hate this. It's like, you probably didn't do a great job. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you're not trying to get them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, in that way.
Yeah. I also wonder if it's a story. Like, if it's a story beat, it's a little more interesting. If it's like, okay, well, we're bringing in your sister and your mom, and this is like, this thing and this thing are going to happen. Or if they're just kind of like calling their player out for not writing to their mom. You know,
also it's like it's not a particularly fun thing either. Like it's not like you got like bamboozled by the evil wizard and now you're kind of like you're all locked up or you've got to escape this tower.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, we're just gonna role play your mum being pissed at you for like half
it's just,
hour.
just so brutal.
I play games to not have that happen.
Exactly. Yes, yes,
it's just like, you know how fantasy is escapism?
Yeah.
It's not anymore.
Right.
Yeah. In this game, your mom is also mad at you for not contacting her enough.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, here's your mom. Mom walks in, sits down at the table.
By the way, you've been playing D&D for 6 hours. It's Sunday. That's when you call mom and you have the long conversation and you forgot to do it.
This feels like entrapment.
I have to be honest. I was hired by your mom. She has some things she wants to say to you.
Yeah. This is a mom con.
Teaching you a lesson about communication.
Yeah. This would be, we were joking about, like Saul having secret kids or something like that. Yeah. But this is kind of like, this would be like me throwing Calder under the bus or something like that, of being like, Calder, you haven't contacted your mom that much in the frigid north.
Right.
She's really mad at you. It's just, it's like, we know she exists.
It's so brutal.
Do we have to every session have the characters talk about like how well they're keeping in contact with all of their relatives?
We don't have time to do that because we are narrating every single shit we do.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that you're not editing that out.
Uh-huh.
In this house, we believe that potions are enemas. We narrate our shit. Croissanting is punishment. Croissanting is every punishment.
Yeah, it would be like if every time you ran into an old friend on the road too, like the DM narrated them being like, why don't you ever write me? Oh, hey, it's good to see you, but I haven't heard from you in a long time.
Yeah.
You can't send a raven every once in a while?
Do you know that I got married? No, you don't.
Because you didn't respond to the RSVP. You didn't RSVP.
Those narrative gotcha moments are always better when it's like, hey, this like devil gives you a coin and you're like, oh, I guess I keep it. Maybe it'll be useful later. And then later on, it's like, you find out that the devil was scrying on you. That's fun.
It's not fun
to just arbitrarily be like, your parents, who you didn't think were going to be part of the story, are so mad at you right now.
Yeah. Or like 20 episodes in being like, did you set up a security system for your house that you left?
We've had cases like that.
The one with like the airship that was unlocked.
Bandits just keep coming in and stealing.
But that was like even more pressure. It's like if it's just like they mentioned that they left home and then 20 episodes in.
Did you narrate locking the door?
did you check that you didn't leave the stove on? Gotcha. Like just checking?
Yeah.
Just checking?
You didn't describe that you were wearing socks. Your feet are covered in blisters.
Someone shit in your kitchen sink.
Excuse me, hard one. Did you put on your boots today? I don't recall you saying you did, man.
I remember you putting the boots on. But you did not say that you laced them.
Yeah,
so you actually
you trip on your laces.
Yeah, roll me a dexterity saving throw.
Dex saves with disadvantage until you take an action to tie your shoes.
Just the DM fucking with a little Grinch smirk on his face, being like, "Did anyone eat breakfast today?"
That's so funny.
No. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I mean, if it was a legit part of their backstory or something like that, then that's interesting. But it sounds like the player didn't like
It sounds like it's like a type of role play that they're really not feeling excited about. And follow your player's enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to send this magpie Aarakocra to shuttle messages betwixt you two.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And unfortunately, again, they are covered in bird seed and croissants.
Should we have the magpie spread some croissants at this player's house?
Yes, and you of course can elect to take the croissant.
Right, this is your punishment, but you can opt just take for the croissant.
Yeah. Yeah. You may take the crescent
if
watch.
If you don't feel, you could take the crescent watch.
The choice is yours.
Yeah.
So ordered.
Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Mint Mobile. It's spring cleaning. We're getting rid of the things that don't serve us anymore, and you know what doesn't serve anyone? Expensive phone bills. If you'd like to declutter your finances, it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/pawpaw. That's mintmobile.com/pawpaw. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/PAWPAW. $45 upfront payment minimum required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Goodbye, sweeties.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want, and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Our next case comes from Alex W. to the magnificent and honorable Supreme Court Justices.
Hi, Alex.
And also...
How you doing?
Hi, Alex. Alex, how are you, my friend?
Don't let Jake read. Hi, Alex. just say hi to the people
every time. You haven't me in a while, Alex. What's up? Like, it's been a minute since you've...
How's your mom?
...ravened me, so... Okay.
We're supposed to be almost kind of like disconnected from that. Okay.
Okay, go on.
To the magnificent and honorable Supreme Crit Justices and also the deplorable and dishonest bailiff, Jake, if he really wants. Interesting.
Whoa.
Oh, that sounds kind of hot though. Deplorable and dishonest.
Edgy.
That was savage in a cool way.
Savage.
May I present the case of Squid Anatomy?
Great.
I DM for a large group that has several rotating players. During a recent session, six players were fighting a juvenile kraken. The fighter, played by my dad, in his first campaign...
Played by my dad?
Go on. The fighter played by my dad in his first campaign since the 80s asked if the kraken has any weak spots. Before I could say anything, the cleric, played by my cousin, currently getting her master's in deep sea marine biology, said that squids had circular brains that went around their heads and three hearts. She then sent a diagram into the chat of our Zoom of squid anatomy. I was taken aback, but said this was a fantasy game and that the squid didn't have any weak points. Now, I feel as though I should have rewarded the flex on squid anatomy and given the kraken vulnerability to attacks made at the head. Was I wrong to say there were no weak points? My fate rests in your hands.
Okay. I think that you weren't wrong, but I like that you are doing a little inventory. Because though it is a wild move, it is fun for players to be like,
Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
there is
it's a little bit
spot.
Of a slippery slope,
it.
But having it work the one time is kind of fun.
I think this is exactly what inspiration was made for.
Yeah, that's true.
Give the marine biologist a point of inspiration. Be like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, I'll say that like your knowledge of squids allows you
makes
like to have a little
it
extra
easier for you to hit them. Yeah.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can absolutely imagine the scenario in which like the next fight they're like, okay, cool. Like this thing's flying.
Frogs,
I go for the wings, and it's like, okay, we're gonna this is where we're gonna go.
That is a thing that new D&D players need to learn is that it's all just armor class and HP.
Yeah.
Like sitting there and being like, I attack its foot.
Yep.
It just doesn't.
It sounds like the cousin though was chill, right?
Yes.
So it was clearly someone who was like, oh, actually here's a fun fact.
Yeah.
And then it was like, no, that's not how it works. Okay, cool.
Totally.
And like, that cousin was so excited to be able to share a squid diagram.
And it is.
That's why this DM sounds like the DM was sitting there being like, wow, I should have maybe rewarded
and
the squid.
So I like that you were thinking it. You did nothing wrong, but I can also see the fighter being like, I'm gonna go for one of their three hearts, and then suddenly like you could have been like sick. The brain thing isn't true, but they do have three hearts, and if you attack all three hearts, that you know, like you could have, but
nobody did anything wrong here. This sounds like a very nice
uh-huh.
We're gonna do a good old-fashioned goodwill hunting. It's not your fault.
it's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
Brian, not
Have
you.
I talked on here about how I watched a man watch Good Will Hunting three times in a row, chugging red wine on a flight?
Was he paying attention each time?
Yeah. He was going through these huge bottles of red wine and just watching Good Will Hunting
forgetting key scenes, I guess.
Just gets to the end and goes, you know what? I'd love to watch Good Will Hunting. I haven't watched that in a while. Gets to the end of the second time through.
You know what?
That man was time traveling.
It was like, I kind of respected it. I was like, you know what? Do your flight how you want to do your flight.
If someone explained to me that they're just like, I watch movies twice in a row because I like look at my phone a lot and stuff and I don't want to miss anything.
Uh-huh.
So I watch it twice and I'm just like, you're crazy, but I get you.
Yeah, insane, but I respect.
Insane, but I absolutely respect you.
Okay, well, we'll move on because I'm scared. I already talked about that already on the show.
Worth repeating, I would say.
We should talk about it three times.
Yeah, as we say, you have to talk about it three times. Yeah, that's the way it works.
Everyone, I think, has watched someone watch an insane airplane movie choice.
Yeah.
I watched someone watch Avatar twice.
I actually did it with Barb and Star Go to Del Mar because I watched it and then Murph started watching it because I was laughing at it. And then I watched it and then I watched over your shoulder, but then I started watching it again to get to the really funny parts.
Oh, yeah. That movie's got some incredible jokes in it. Definitely worth a rewatch.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about how no one ever responds to my squid anatomy post in the group chat.
I think we were saying Good Will Hunting is not your fault. You did nothing wrong.
Yeah. I think everybody here seems nice. I think in the future, I think Caldwell's got the right of it. Mm-hmm. If somebody has like a cool fact like that, that they seem excited, you give them inspiration.
Yeah.
Or you give them advantage on like their first attack or something like
right,
that.
Yeah.
And that way you reward that kind of enthusiasm without like encouraging people to every single time a new animal pops up, they have an animal tiger.
Yeah.
I do an investigation check to see where its hearts are.
Yeah.
May I suggest that they all have to go on a nice family trip to the aquarium?
Oh my God, I love that.
That's great.
I love the aquarium.
And they should get croissants at the food court.
Yeah, you guys can eat croissants. You can choose
to eat them. You can choose to eat them rather than letting the birds come for you.
You can eat them in the safety of your home.
And then it's also like a nice time for like the marine biologists to like really get out all their facts.
Yeah.
And then you can decide which ones you will want to be relevant in your campaign.
I do think you all do have to touch the stingrays, though.
What?
Wow.
Everyone needs to get a little hurt. Yeah.
A little hurt. Like a death sentence?
No. There are stingrays that will hurt you real bad, but like usually aquariums have a little touch pool.
Yeah, you can pet stingrays. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe one of them has to get stung.
Dude, this is a nice family.
You're out for blood.
Just take the croissanting.
At this point, we're just goading you into the croissanting. You can tell.
We're coming up with such bad punishments.
The court obviously has a surplus of baked goods. We just want to throw food.
Croissanting has morphed for me from being like, oh, we're gonna make birds descend upon your house to a bunch like a public stoning, but with croissants.
Croissants, totally.
That's just truly so soft.
My lord, I implore you, take
hear
the croissant.
The gentle.
And then, like, the worst part about it is that, like, afterwards you just find crumbs on you for like a couple hours.
Yeah.
And got rid of all these.
Heaven forbid you put on lip gloss before you get croissanted.
That would be rough.
Hope you're not wearing light colored
clothing. It's the shame scene from Game of Thrones where you just march through and everyone's throwing croissants at you.
Just gentle, airy.
You are allowed to try and catch one in your mouth if you're hungry. If you get hungry at any point.
just sobbing while getting croissants thrown at you, but still eating them. Taking a huge bite while sobbing.
The little flakes get in your tears.
It's so buttery.
That's a great question, though. Like, are they good croissants or are these like airport quality?
I mean, honestly, I think every croissant is a good croissant.
I actually agree with that.
There are some that do damage.
Croissants are weapons. Every croissant is a good croissant. Potions are enemas.
I never had a croissant I didn't like.
Holy shit, these croissants have got tiny little knives in them. What the fuck? This is so dangerous.
Oh, Lord. All right, why don't we do one more?
Okay, so ordered another croissanting. Our last case.
If you can believe it.
Very apropos, actually. This is both a case and a confession, kind of at the same time. So we can step into church as well.
Okay.
Whoa.
Great.
Wesley B. writes, "May it please the illustrious Supreme Crit Justices and the late Jaking Bailiff."
Late Jaking?
That's a reference to a nickname I have on another podcast. Don't you guys worry about it.
Okay.
Okay.
No, explain it.
Yeah, explain the whole thing.
Oh, that's a good punishment. Yeah. Someone has to listen to that explanation.
Someone has to listen to that podcast.
Yeah, someone has to listen to a Jake Hurwitz podcast.
You have to listen to every Jake Hurwitz podcast
that's ever been done
in a day.
Oh, wow.
You have to talk to Jake about Formula One for an hour.
That is the podcast it's about.
You have to work out how to get through all of it in a day and listen to it that speed. Like, it's like times 16 speed of every single Jake Hurwitz podcast.
Might be the only way to get through it. I present a crime and a confessional. We were playing a pre-written campaign, Descent into Avernus.
Yeah.
Cool. And during a dungeon exploration, we cornered a sniveling little rat of an NPC to question him.
Murph is smiling like he wants to meet
rat. I want to be
I love sniveling rats.
I can already hear the voice.
Please, don't. Let me go.
Oh, man. Now I want to play. I love encountering one of Murph's
cowards.
I'm
going to bite you.
And it, like,
I'm going to freaking bite you.
I'm a shifty little coward.
I'm a shifty little guy.
And then you let them go after like a while and they just turn around and immediately throw shit at you or something. Yeah. And you're like, well, obviously now we're just going to kill you.
Give me your croissants.
I rolled a nat 20 intimidation, and the DM told me the NPC refuses to tell us anything. So we killed him. Here's the confession. The copy of Descent into Avernus was that we're playing from is my copy. And after the session, when everyone had gone home, I flipped through the book to the part we're playing and found the NPC in question was supposed to tell us everything on a DC 15 intimidation or persuasion. I know I've done wrong, but in my wrongdoing, have I uncovered a more egregious miscarriage of justice? I await your judgment.
Wow.
Okay. It's like going through someone's phone and finding out that they're cheating.
I think you're both a little wrong. I think that your DM was wrong, but I think you knew it in the moment and you didn't need to look into the book to find that out.
Yeah.
That was
There's
for
a
you.
Reason you looked into the book because you crit and still learned nothing, I think.
In trying to find out the truth about the dirty little rat, you became a dirtier, even smaller rat yourself.
Yeah.
It was you all along. It was you.
I would absolutely have loved it if, like, the player flicked through to that page and there was a note.
There's
like,
just a mirror.
From the, there was a note from the NPC, like, I can see you.
Congratulations on your investigation
check.
This
truly is a descent into Avernus.
Wow.
You have gone so far from Dice Christ.
Yeah.
You are in Dice Hell.
Yeah.
That's like a very specific problem that I've never thought of before. Is that like players could just look through the adventure and find out what's going on. Just like cheat wiki their way through a D&D game.
I would say that the DM is wrong, but it's not wrong for DMs to change things from source books.
Yeah, totally.
But the DM was wrong to just give you truly nothing on a nat 20 intimidation.
Yeah, wow.
That seems...
I wonder if it's just a matter of being bad at like improvising, just like not thinking that your guy was going to get captured. Yeah. I'm just not thinking your guy was going to get captured. And then, I don't know, I could see a situation where they're like, tell us everything. And I'm like, you got a nat 20, the guy pisses himself.
I was going to say, if he's like so scared that he passes out, like that's probably fine.
There's a way to describe
it. But give him the rat. For a nat 20, that's your pet now.
Or he just like, the rat has a heart attack.
Yeah.
And you don't have to fight him.
but spends so long dying from the heart attack. Like it goes on for way too long.
I can't reveal anything because I got too much foam in my mouth.
So graphic. I do think that the DM was not doing great there.
Yeah. Well, I think the DM sinned, but you like went against the church. Like you did something more grave here.
Yeah.
I'm definitely on the side that I don't think the DM did anything wrong here. Like in the
really?
Sense that like I think it's
by giving
it's,
absolutely nothing for a nat 20 intimidation.
Annoying, but I'm also like, if that DM had like a really specific thing in mind that was ultimately going to be more satisfying. Uh-huh. Although, then is it going against Dice Christ to deny the nat 20?
Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. Is like the DM didn't even need to give information; they just needed to give something,
some reward.
I do think it's just a matter of maybe them not being a good improviser.
Yeah,
because I don't know. There is
or
a world
just
where
caught
even on a nat
20 in a moment,
if that character doesn't know anything. Then it kind of doesn't matter if you get a nat 20 or not.
Right, but that character knew something.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is like, I'm not arguing that the DM should have given any information. I'm saying that they just should have done something to make that nat 20 fun.
That's true.
Which is why I suggested a heart attack.
Perfect. Right.
I think you were wrong for looking in the book. The DM was also wrong for denying the nat 20, I think.
I think there needs to be a mass cleansing ritual.
I think you need to put a croissant inside your Descent into Avernus book and slam the book cover repeatedly.
Murph, it's so buttery, though.
Destroying the croissant.
Crumbs everywhere.
And your book with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get that book all greasy because you should not be reading it as the player.
And I think that the DM's punishment should be to put a really smart rat who knows everything that's going on in your
West. Like a Ralph S. Mouse.
Yeah, easygoing rat that just kind of knows everything.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Yeah.
Maybe get an actual rat and put glasses on it and have it be like the table mascot.
That rat would love the croissant.
Do some light animal cruelty.
Really terrifying for everyone involved.
Yeah, give the rat a croissant. Give the rat some glasses.
If you give the rat a croissant, it's going to want some milk to go with it, is the thing.
Yeah, that's the
saying. I'm just picturing like putting a cage of a rat on the table and being like, guys, big news, taking off the cloth, the rat immediately gets out, starts running underfoot, everyone's freaking out,
jumps
the rat hates
on someone's
it,
face.
You guys hate it.
But the rat does have vital information for the campaign. Yeah. Like, let's just be clear.
He is wearing a little collar that has all of the lore you need to know.
Has the HP of the next group you're going to fight.
And their immunities.
If only you can catch him.
And it's you're the DM, but it's at someone else's house. And you just loosed a rat.
You're just riding in the back of an Uber with a rat.
Yeah. Just chuckling to yourself, like, at how cool this is going to be.
Yeah, just a win with a rat that you're handling.
A loose rat as well. As
the rat. Hey, for
it's
Caldwell.
It's not well behaved.
What's up? Yeah, just sliding in the back seat.
And then sat at the table, but like wanting to wait a minute before you reveal the rat. So like trying to like start and just clearly
just
shifting
because like
you've got a rat
pocket.
In your jumper or something.
Hey, what's going on with your hoodie pocket?
Nothing. Nothing.
Stop biting.
Should we order some food?
It's another thing to add to the lawn sign. In this house, we believe rats should ride in Ubers. should ride loose in Ubers.
In this house, we believe in loose, terrified rats.
Rats ride loose.
Rats ride loose. That's the tagline.
You gotta
rats ride
the
loose.
They're not gonna want you to do it, but if you go into the back end of Uber, if you go to your settings, you can toggle.
You can do if the rats are allowed to be loose.
It's like requesting a quiet car. You can do like the AC is on, no music, and I have a rat.
AC is on. Rats can be loose. Rats can be
loose. Quiet ride, loose rat.
I want my rat to be loose, and I don't want to hear a goddamn thing about it.
Give my rat some gum, you fuck.
Oh, good lord. Okay, yeah.
Just feeding a tiny water bottle to your loose
Dice
rat.
Dice Christ absolves you as long as you bring a rat into an Uber. Or you can take a croissant.
Only one that you toggled loose.
Yeah, make sure you toggle.
But I love the idea that if you toggle it, it also means that you're no longer responsible for the rat. Right. So like, if you lose the rat in an Uber, like, sorry. I don't know where it is, but I got to get out.
Getting into an Uber and them and the driver being like, oh, hey, just so you know, my last ride was a loose rat, and there is a rat loose still.
I think it's in there. I'm not sure.
I think they maybe left their rat.
That's why my rating is a 1.2.
Yeah. It would be a great game show to see who could get an Uber to actually come to them and not cancel. Is everyone at once calls an Uber and then you have to instantly message the Uber and be like, hey, just a heads up, I have a rat. It's loose. And you don't elaborate.
Or like I'm trying to send my rat to my friend's house. Uh-huh. I'm not gonna be riding in the Uber.
I'll meet you up front.
Don't worry, my friend will pick up the rat the other side.
The rat's wearing a leash, but he chewed through some of it. So no promises.
Yeah. Just hanging on by a few
threads.
There's
no way to handle this rat. He's loose.
He's just going
to
be loose in the car, but don't worry, my friend will pick him up.
I will give you a 150% tip.
Oh, this is really going to rat my rating, isn't it?
I want to see if I can book a rat Uber to take deliver a rat to Jake.
Don't try this at home, kids.
Just explaining the situation.
Oh shit!
And see if they still show up. Yeah.
Oh, gorgeous.
You would just get like a question mark back, and then you'd further elaborate, and then you'd get canceled.
I guess. And then the extension of this game is that the animal just gets progressively bigger and bigger until you can no longer get it in.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, we try a loose rat, then we work up like a loose possum.
Oh my god! A raccoon would be so scary.
Loose badger.
They're so. Brutal.
Loose raccoon.
You reach a point, though, where I think like the driver's going to be okay with it. Like, if I'm driving an Uber and someone's like, hey, can I let a capybara loose in your backseat? I'm
sure.
Yeah,
that's going to be
fun. Hey, can I get Uber XL for my loose moose, please?
They're so dangerous. They're like one of the most deadly.
Truly so bad.
Although, they wouldn't be able to get a running start to gore you.
Exactly.
There we go. Yeah. It just swings.
They can't do shit in a car.
Yeah. A moose in the backseat? I feel fucking fine.
Yeah, I'm fine,
try and
dude.
Get me.
Yeah, get me with those Escalade. Horns. You'll get stuck.
You can't get any momentum on those horns.
You can't get any momentum with your freaking horns.
You're gonna poke me at best.
Don't tease it, man. You're making it angry.
Its skull's too thick for me to hurt it, but I think it's a stalemate. Me and a moose in a car. Me and a moose in a Corolla.
That's a sensible sedan.
I'm putting my money on nobody.
It's a new WWE event. Good Bruce Lee's in the car with Kane.
All right, with that, we're going to wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. Jasper William Cartwright, where can the people find you?
You can find me on my social medias, where I'll be wrestling mooses.
In cars, so they can't get momentum.
Don't get concerned. A moose without momentum, nothing.
It was actually the moose that pitched the idea to me. Yeah. So it's not animal
That's
cruelty.
A smart moose. The moose will give you information.
Super smart moose. They give me so much information about my quest in life. But you can find me at JW_Cartwright, and you can find Three Black Halflings that's the number 3 Black Halflings. We do lots of cool stuff. And sometimes we have these guys on our show.
Yeah.
Give them a lissy.
Please.
Sure.
Whatever a lissy is. I don't actually know what that is, but I'd love one. And a croissant, maybe.
Sweet, guys. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to plug?
I'd love to plug Patisserie Claude, one of my favorite places in New York City to get a croissant. So go check those guys out.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give a shout out. Go ahead.
I'll plug Bread Block in Los Angeles because they make gluten-free croissants that are delicious.
Oh, yeah. The Black Sheep in Manchester, actually. Yeah, I'll plug that. That's a pretty tight coffee shop.
Yeah. I'll round it out with Penny Oven and Eagle Rock. Great croissant there.
Wow, I don't know that I have a croissant wreck. I feel terrible.
Starbucks has pretty good ones.
Yeah. Like that.
I was going to say the last croissant I've had is probably like a shitty Starbucks one.
Those are great.
Yeah, plug Starbucks, Merv.
Yeah. I don't want to. I beg of you, don't make me. I don't want to. Well, then don't go to Starbucks. That'll be my phone. We got some live shows still. Nashville, Atlanta, and Savannah. I believe Savannah is sold out. Mm-hmm. Atlanta
also sold out, so it's just Nashville, I think.
Nashville,
yeah. But there are some other ones there. I think there's DC, there's DC, Philly, and Boston too.
Yeah,
so
I can't wait for that.
Just go to nadpod.com/live.
Make sure you bring your croissants, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You should probably
please don't bring your croissant. if you throw a croissant at me, I will have you thrown out.
But know you will be welcome in Three Black Halflings whenever. If you throw a croissant at Murph, only one though. Let's not get silly. If one person does it, that's the bit over.
Yeah.
I'm going to add to the sign, if you throw a croissant at me, I will press charges.
In this house.
Amen.
In this house, a non-punishment croissant.
Potions are enemas. If you throw a croissant, I will press charges.
Insane. Sweet, guys. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use at CHMurphsMe, at Caldus Caldwell, at AXfordsEmily, at Jake Hurwitz is Jake, and at
JW_Cartwright is Jasper.
And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation.
It's the end of our show, which means it's time to shout out our benevolent, lovely, superb Council of Elders. Let's get right to it, folks. Brad D, Jeffrey S, Hugh C, Later McSkater, Matt M, Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Liv A, Daniel G, the J-Pod, Dylan B, who is selling a Galad trading card for 100 brown leaves, Dungeon Mama, parentheses, not sexual. Good to know. Thanks for the clarification. Danielle, the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P, Vincent W, Miss Tare Cole, Victor T, a.k.a. Balnor's Boy, Dominic P, Justin I, Ragnar Ferdwin, TJ M, Trele, The Cray, Christopher B, Damiel R, Brianna B, Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Emily applying poultice to Murph's rollerblading injuries. How kind. Richard X Machina, Michael L, Callum L, Jack L, Sam L, Nicholas C, Hemlock, Mike H, Great Value Gemma, Adam G, Tyler F, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, just Andrew the Druid here, okay? Adrian the Halfling Bardificer, Rex Daniel the White, Captain Sigil, Deanna Delos Lopez, Cece Lulu, Hercule Poirot, Zelabeth Folk Detective, Timmy R, Lucas B, Reiko, It's Kevin, Cody B, Calder's Cold Cum, hashtag rise my comrades, spread the camaraderie. Katie W, Taylor B, the vengeful one-winged angel. Cash, skateboard Cass. Captain of the Stevens, Stephen Cole. Mike K, Lady Taco. Brian G, Joy T. Nara. Jake L, Nick W. Brave the Badger. Esme M, Foster the Boneless Duck. William W, Aaron the Asshole Ranger. Big Bad Beardo the Mad. Eric McD, Galad Roselle, the White Rose of Galateron. Christian A, J Dragonborn, Joe Rowe, the Inapropro. The Sandrean, Ben A, Feldonis, John the Third, Dave H, Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Dustin S, Connor F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant Izzy F, The Time Walker, Marky Mark the Marvelous Mining Engineer, Cat C, Kelsey J, Pork Chop, Misa of House Inzunza, Ariel the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N, aka Velaciraptor, B, Perky Always, Pat L, Achutha A, Lauren H, Ryan S, The Bone Duster, The Charming Fluff, Robot Crisps, Telekitty Creations, Fan Illustrator, insert request here. Oh, I would love to see that sniveling little rat that was described in the Descent to Avernus case. That would be great. Thank you. Ploops, Carly Ann, Addie K, AP Cleric, Lori P, Spam Gaming, who's just a raccoon that has a gun. Congratulations, Spam Gaming. Happy for you. Connor S, Christopher J. Pebblepot, to the Dew Riders, my first D&D party. May all our adventures be wondrous. Thank you for being my friends. Salil, Leviathan, BioQuirt 7, Amber, Dextrous, Sullivan, H, Trub, Hop Dropper, Sydney Tatum, Jack Hubert, Crabster Champion of Croth, scuttling sideways towards tomorrow. I salute you with my big clawed hand. Fendere, Garble the Moist, Lindsay W, Juicy Kiwi, who finally converted to the camaraderie of Calder's Cold Cum. Do what you want, I can't stop you. Valen, Beep, the Druid Barbarian, Carlin C, Emily S, Cody and TREP, Pindergreen's Roommates, Harry Cox, Noah, the Bagel of All Things, Justin LeBee, Tori, Everything Bago, the Eladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger, Stripey. Sounds nice. Dandy, Marcos P, Jordan P, the Occasional Crit Reporter, Learns, the Balanced Druid, Dakota James P, Frida M, Pagos, Self-Proclaimed Fae Prince, Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian, Friar Frizzed, Andy E, Holly Hyena, Kristen Z, the I Will Use What You Love Against You DM, Leia C, Paige H, Helen of Briz, May B, Akash T, Kristen with a K, Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dil Go, yes the whole thing, yes every time, Neos, the novice monster hunter, and I think a friend, Simon, should I be meeting him somewhere? Do you know where? If not, ask the elders. Patrick, Lorelei the succubus, and Kyra, her bursty queen. Wow. Michael, the Esri pop idol. Morgan M, appealing sticker. Stephen E, Chaos, the Crick mascot. Sid, around the house. John Adams, yes, like the president. Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia. James F, Cap'n Cappy, M4L. Wayfarer, currently in a trademark dispute with Mothership over the patent on the SS Storm Bjorn. Andrew B, Sir Smut, Cope Fresh, Barpo Good Barrel, Barbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep. Welshlander, Garrett Grosser, aka One Big Curd, Mr. D, Dana Daisy, Sean J, Mr. Sillyhead, Ethan B, Monster Captain Renee S, Hop the Dancing Rabbit, Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope. Olivia the Enchanting Bard will totally be making money in a grand novel off of the Duck Team Tales with an on-the-go, all-the-stop show. Blue Slade the Artificer, Michaela R, Riley S, Fico, Angry Wheat, the game itself just trying to find himself. Good luck. Tony G, Corbose, Calamitous, Cumshot, Hashtag, CCC Forever, Sorry Jake, Josh Hornsby, Jack the Jack's Jinxing Rogue, On the Run with the Bahumia Balls, Mango Empanadas, Rented Mules, a.k.a. He Who Made Doug Divergen, Darknut, Trogdor, The Burninator, Clementine T, Caleb L, Simone Tried Whiskey and Liked It, Morgan. This message has been brought to you by fairies in support of Hashtag CCC. Honk, the Arcane Trickster Goose, Hashtag CCC, parentheses, Sorry Jake. Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie-wearing barbarian with a bad back, Papa Wookie, MJ, the BFG, drinking tea, by the sea, Little Ferret Pal, Samantha K, Cronus Maximus, Gino T, Squid Minty, Fae Father, the father of the Fae, Mama Belle, Miko, the Noid Elf, Sheldon, the Mushroom Turtle, Straw Man, 18 Wheels of Rubber and Steel, Potato Master, Timothy R., and Punky's Whips! That is all of our elders, folks. Thank you so, so much for listening. If you would like to join this illustrious council, just go to patreon.com/nadpod and sign up today. Thanks again for listening. We will see you here again next week. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.